University of San Francisco. Thanks for coming. I'm Gary McDonald. I'm the Associate Vice President of Publications and Human Affairs at the University of San Francisco. The purpose of tonight's meeting is to address your concerns about KUSF and our decision to move KUSF to an online-only format and to sell the registration. President. So Stephen Corbett is here tonight to discuss your concerns. So a note about tonight's format. We want to hear from as many of you as possible. So we have passed out cards for you wishing to ask questions. And we'll try to answer questions from as many groups as we can, including the KUSF volunteers, community members, and USF faculty and staff.
Students
as well. So when we call your name, step to the end of the row, and then you'll be able to ask your questions. We'll get to as many questions as possible. If we don't get to yours tonight, you can always send your comments to us at president@usfca.edu. If you haven't filled out a card yet, they're still available, so just raise your hands and we're passing them out now. Okay, so now, University President Paula Corbett will have an opening statement, and then we'll address your questions. Thank you.
So let me thank you for being here this evening and for giving me the opportunity to directly address some of the questions that I've already received via email and whatever questions you may have here this evening. And I want to thank the university staff who were able to put this together on such short notice. I want to be honest with you. I have a funeral tomorrow morning that I have not yet prepared for, so I have to leave here at 9:30.
So,
in the course of the evening, I think we can best use the time if we all try to be as concise as we can and give maximal opportunities for everybody to speak and to have their time. I would like you to indulge me. I'd like you to join me in a prayer as we do here at the university at the gatherings of this size. And then I will throw it open for questions. And the first thing I want to do is I want to thank Steve Runyon and Trista Bernasconi. Steve, has been with the radio station since its founding in 1977. He's been the director of KUSF. And I also want to thank, I think it's about 200 volunteers, many of whom I think are here this evening, those of you who have staffed the program over the years. Yeah. I want to thank you for the time and effort. It's very clear to me that there is justifiable anger and disappointment with the decision that I made. I understand that. And I see this tonight as an opportunity for me to explain the decision. I don't expect or anticipate that you're going to agree with me. And that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not here to argue with you. I'm just hoping that you will understand the perspective from which I'm coming and how I understand my responsibilities for this decision, which is a decision that I made. From my perspective, my primary responsibility is to our students. and the fundamental mission of the university is stated clearly. That is to offer education in the Jesuit Catholic tradition to graduate, undergraduate, and professional students. And it is my responsibility to see that all of the university's resources are directed to ensuring a quality education for our students. And this may be difficult for you to hear, but from my perspective, what we do for the community is graduate smart, compassionate, and committed people like yourselves who are willing to take on responsibilities to improve the life of the community.
Well, why didn't you tell us?
We run a nursing school. We don't staff a hospital. We run a law school. We are not a law firm. We teach broadcasting. We are not fundamentally a radio station.
What?
We are here for our
students.
And our primary responsibility is to deliver education to our students. And I say this is going to be difficult for you to hear. It is our primary responsibility is not to be a source of entertainment and information for the community. I want to address...
About money. About money.
Keep them in a bubble. Keep them in a bubble.
Let him speak.
Let me address some of the concerns that I have heard, and for which, you know, if we didn't do it right, I apologize. The security precautions that we took are standard operating procedures when ownership changes. It protects the property, and it protects the individuals previously involved with the enterprise should anything happen.
I think
we're hypersensitive because of the context, the larger context in the nation itself. The propensity.
What a liar! What a liar!
Come on! Come on!
My reasoning, and I understand that you will not agree, but that's okay. I just want to get it out there, and then we can talk about it. So some of these things were seen as distrust or simply cautionary on our part. Why didn't we engage the community before the decision? Because we have an agreement of non-disclosure, because there were four entities involved. When I made that, that's the rules of the game. I may not like it, you may not like it, but these are the rules when you enter into these negotiations.
Which was not the way you had to.
Why?
You chose to do that.
Had. So when?
Because you should have had that license.
Can I finish?
When we
were presented this opportunity and determined that we were going to explore it, we were in a non-disclosure situation. Looking forward, this is not, from my perspective, the death of KUSF. This is moving to an online format. This will ensure that those emails which I have gotten from Europe, from Latin America, those people will have access to the programming that KUSF offers. Our intention is to use the $3.75 million to reinvest in educational programming that will directly benefit our students. We anticipate that KUSF will, in a sense, go back to its roots. It will return to be a student-run enterprise, a learning laboratory that matches the mission of the university, which is to teach students how to broadcast. So bottom line, that's the rationale, that's the decision that I made, and I will be happy to address the questions that I think are on cards.
Yes. Okay, so again,
fire away.
So we have a number of questions. If I call your name, you just come to the end of the aisle, and we'll have the microphones. So we have Linda Champagne. She is a KUSF DJ. Linda.
hard for me to speak, but the station is more to everyone than just part of this university. It should have been handled better. There should have been time for everyone to understand what was going on and to prepare themselves and hopefully come up with a better solution than just to take it out from under everyone's feet in the thick of night. That's all I have to say.
I do want to be clear that you, KUSF will continue with online programming.
We already had that.
What about the details that were on there?
Not everyone has a computer.
Just so you know, I can't hear when you're up here. I can't hear you, so it's not helpful. What we want to do is we're going to expand. I think currently we're limited to about a relatively small number. We're going to expand that. So I do think there's positive...
Continue, sir.
We're going to ask as many questions as we can, but we can only do that if we respect them.
Are you like the guy? What?
There are 5,800 undergraduate students at the university. There are 10 students who volunteer at KUSF.
That's not true. That's not true. 10%.
That's not true.
If this decision wasn't primarily about money, why were there no attempts made before this sale to include students in the current formulation of KUSF?
Because we were in a non-disclosure situation.
Before that.
It wasn't a before. There was.
So the university,
5 years
the university had no qualms with the way it was running. If there was an imbalance, there were students that were underinvolved, if the community involvement was too much a part of it,
then we made efforts to try to more directly engage students in running up at the radio station.
When?
I basically deal with the college. And there have been efforts in my 11 years to try to turn it more into a student-based learning experience. Those haven't been successful. So I have to make the judgment, what is the best use of our resources for the maximum number of our students? And in my judgment, this was a tremendous benefit to the community. It was a minimal benefit to our students. That's my judgment.
Should be part of the community.
From the standpoint of the station, aside from committed students like Chad and like many of the other students, Michelle, we have students involved at every level of KUSF.
Most students aren't here because they're on Christmas break. Most students aren't here. You didn't tell us.
But beyond that, we feel no support from the university in involving students with the way KUSF currently operates, or operated until yesterday during DJ Shmijay's show.
You probably feel no support from the university.
As far as involving students.
Oh, I was going to say, because we support it with space, we support it with salaries, and we support it with the number of indirect costs. The university has supported the radio station for 30 years.
Yeah, no, I know. That wasn't my fault.
Okay, Kevin Coons, and then Josh Prentice. Kevin and Josh Prentice.
Sure, yes. Thank you. Yeah, of course. Thank you.
So being a student in these classes where KUSF is something that you could intern in, I think it's going to be very detrimental to the school, to the community. You talk about, you don't want it there for entertainment. You want it there for information, and that's what it was doing. I can guarantee you that whoever's getting your information about 10% of the students being involved is completely off with their statistics. And while you can't look at me in the eye, I understand that, but really you need to think a little bit more about the way that you run your Jesuit university, because just cutting people mid-sentence
is not really very Christian or Catholic or whatever you want to call it, but that's just not how you do things. That's not how people in reality react. Beyond that, I can tell you that online there are over 2,000 or three, over 2,000. Okay.
Maybe you want to go back and
oh yeah, I could repeat myself all night, but basically, to say that there's not enough student involvement, there are over 2,000, 3,000 people who've joined Save KUSF within the last, 24, 48 hours. When you do this thing during a vacation, you're not going to get a huge student turnout. Why don't you do another one of these when the students are actually back on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, any night of the week, I'll be there. Please. How do you sleep with yourself at night? No, serious question though. You said that you would use the 3.75 million to help out the education of the students at the school. Will you put that money back into the audio and video department and not use it to build other things that people don't want at the university? Because, if you're going to put the 3.75 directly into where it's going, then... Okay.
Some of the resources will be devoted to the Media Lab, and some of those resources, will they all be devoted to it? No, they will not. It is my decision to determine the top priorities at the university, and I will assign those dollars to what I think are the greatest needs of the university. Some of it, yes, it will go back into our broadcasting capacity and the development of our broadcasting program. So partial answer is yes. And also, I think that you probably all know this, that this process, so now that it's in the public phase, there is an opportunity for anybody who doesn't agree with this decision to make its case with the FCC. The process itself builds in opportunities for the community to express itself with regard to the decision.
Hello, good evening. Thanks for this opportunity to speak with you. My comment to you is directly is I'm not a student. I'm actually a native San Franciscan, longtime Richmond District resident. Small business owner, taxpayer, all those things. And I just enjoy KUSF. I've been a longtime listener and supporter of KUSF. And as a result of my affiliation with KUSF, I have become a USF donor. And I've given literally hundreds, if not thousands of dollars over the years to the university. I had two questions for you. And the first was, why didn't you give us notice? And you've answered that. You said you've entered into non-disclosure agreements, which is kind of standard for this type of thing. But what I really want to know is, why didn't you give the station an opportunity to become self-supporting? Yeah. That could have happened. Yeah. You could have happened. All these other stations follow the same model. And I often wonder why KUSF didn't have a pledge drive. And I thought, that could happen. But I think all the people that listen and love KUSF, we've all given generously. And that's one of the things that we were willing to do. And that opportunity was never given to us. And then the final comment is, you said...
Can I just clarify?
Yes. We came on our own. Where were you?
We gave plenty. We gave salaries. We gave space. We gave up a significant amount of revenue so that KUSF could be housed on the campus. from my perspective.
And nonprofit electricity.
You got tons of free labor.
So from my perspective, this was a radio station that was housed at the university. It wasn't integral to the educational mission of the university. It was important to the community. I don't know how realistic it is to expect the university to continue to fund an institution or an operation whose primary benefit is to the community. So the answer to the question is, why didn't KUS have a fund drive? I don't know. I don't run KUS.
The question was, why didn't the station be given the opportunity to be self-supporting? This is a financial issue, an issue of USF using its resources for a radio station, which by your estimation doesn't serve the students best. It serves the community primarily. Then right. The station should have been given an opportunity to support itself. And then that follows up to one of the comments that you made. You said USF supports the community by graduating students. Well, I'm not a student. I'm a resident, a local person that lives here, and USF does have an impact on the city itself at large by using city services. So by following that rationale, you should have an obligation to serve the community around you. And that's exactly what I'm saying.
Service hours on the part of USF students in numberless not-for-profit organizations. I'm answering the question, why doesn't the city serve the university? That's the question. The city does. The providing, so a radio station is a great service. Radio stations are radio stations, and universities are universities. We are USF, we're not CBS, NBC, or
it took you
Fox
30
News.
Years to
we are a university. And we
why
don't.
Please.
I told you, I mean, I don't expect you to agree with me. I just hope you can understand and listen to what I'm trying to say. Now, that you don't agree is pretty clear. But
you're not answering the question.
You're not answering the question.
Why can't we be self-sufficient?
Yeah.
I don't know why you can't be self-sufficient.
Other private universities. You should have given asked the community to purchase
offer
it.
That came across my desk was the offer.
Do you only take the first offer? That's a joke.
First offer.
Okay. Next word I could ask, why didn't you take the initiative?
Bad faith. Because you didn't want to. Who knew? It was a Christmas day!
Okay, next up is Jennifer Waits, and then Bobby Lee. Jennifer, and then Bobby Lee.
With that said, people from the new public radio organization have said that they're not out soliciting stations, that they're only approaching stations that have already said they were for sale. So does that mean that you did actually announce that you were for sale, but you did not tell
the
staff of KUSF?
No.
So an offer came in without you announcing you were for sale?
That's absolutely. A letter came across. A letter came on my desk.
Who solicited you?
The broker. I forget the technical name of the organization.
And then my second question is that...
The answer to your question is no, we took no initiative to dispose of the radio station. We were approached, and we responded positively.
Okay. And then my other question is, you're saying that KUSF will continue as an online station, but I've also been hearing rumors that you're planning to move the station to a new location, that they may not be able to take their record library. And I also wonder what that means for the cultural affairs programs, which I know at least one of them is now going to be on KDFC. So will it really be the same KUSF online that you're talking about? I don't think so. But you can answer that.
Okay. So what we
Well, then there's no reason for you to answer.
But I would like to know your answer.
We sold the license and the frequency. We retain all other resources. So the library, all of that stuff remains the property of KUSF. Call letters and the music, all that stuff, that's ours. So that's all available for broadcasting. Should the program, the broadcast manager want to use those materials, they're all there.
Okay, that's... And will you be providing space for a record library?
Well, I would presume it. Yeah, it's our collection, so sure. We're not going to... Yeah, the answer is yes. What? Okay.
Okay, Bobby Lee, are you ready? And then after Bobby Lee, Tom Houston. Bobby Lee and Tom Houston.
Hi, Father Rivette. Here we go. Hi, I'm Bobby Lee. I'm a 2007 graduate here at USF and also alumni donor. I just had a couple comments and a question. One, earlier you said that students don't benefit or don't take advantage of KUSF. I, for one, am a student that did take advantage of it. In fact, I started at USF as a finance major, and I left with a finance degree, but KUSF helped ignite my passion in media and broadcasting. So to say that students don't take advantage of it is simply untrue. In fact, I've talked to many prospective students who've come on campus to say that they...
Don't rush it!
I've talked to many prospective students who've come on campus who have said that they want to join USF because of student media like KUSF. Now, one of the things I noticed is that USF has for a very long time tried to silence media on campus, whether it's a foghorn, a USF TV. KDNZ is another example that has gone dark last year. And I just want to say, I think this is part of a pattern, in my opinion. But my question is, you know, I heard $3.75 million what the university got for the frequency. Is that really all we could have gotten for frequency? I mean, this is the Bay Area. There is no open frequency here in the Bay Area.
So there's a fairly standard formula that counts the number of people, et cetera, et cetera. So it's pretty standard. And we benchmarked against other universities are disposing of radio stations for the same reasons that we are. We benchmarked against those universities.
Didn't USC buy it?
Yes.
Didn't USC buy it? So other colleges are dumping their stations, yet USC bought this one.
Correct. Not everybody's doing this.
Okay, so not everyone.
So we
just USF. Just want to make sure. Please continue.
So we benchmarked against those universities that were selling their radio stations, and this is the right price. Now, I've heard everything. You could have gotten $10 million, $15. We looked at all that pretty carefully, and this seemed to be a fair price. And I don't mean, you know, when I say students, I don't mean all students. I understand that there were students. I'm talking in terms of the vast majority of our students. In terms of students who come here for the opportunity to learn broadcasting, those opportunities are going to be multiplied and more robust than they were previously.
How?
No audience.
So part of this effort is to develop a curriculum with our faculty of media studies to enhance the offerings in broadcasting.
Excuse me, Father, I'm curious.
We've got 100 people
I'm
here
student,
asking.
She's a paying student.
Yes,
she's a paying student.
Can I please?
We've got a number of people questions.
Go for it.
Is this radio station that's going to be made online only, is it going to be offered only to media students, or is it going to be offered to other majors also?
Correct.
Is it going to be offered to everybody? Not just media studies students, because I'm a philosophy major.
Like our courses, like philosophy courses are open to non-majors. I assume media studies courses will be open to non-majors. That's a question.
Is it only going to be open to students?
This is a kind of only to students.
Only to students.
Correct.
Okay.
But these kinds of particular questions, I think students will have an opportunity to meet with the dean who can give you much more specific and concrete answers.
Which dean should I meet with? Because I try.
Marcelo Comperi, the dean of the College of Business and Sciences. And he'll be happy to meet with you.
It wasn't yesterday.
Well, the last thing I want to say is that I've spoken to about 10 different donating alums, even President Ambassador alums, who've donated to the university, and they have all agreed it's been a terrible deal and will not continue to contribute to this university.
Education, to citizenship, and to democracy around the world. In fact, in the 1920s in this country, the Catholic Church and labor unions and jazz musicians contributed to making localism part of the mandate of the Federal Communications Commission. It's an exception. It's not the mandate of many national national bodies. The Catholic Church has also been involved, especially in Latin America, and this is partly why I learned Spanish and went to Latin America, in supporting social justice, community media. I know that you've been to El Salvador, that's very important, and one of the reasons why we know about what's going on in Latin America is the role of community media who have broadcasted and been able then to gather people on a face-to-face and community, geographic community together to be able to talk about their experiences, to be able to sing and share their music, to be able to chant and shout and claim their demands as people here have been doing. And they've been now in the last 20 years linking up through the digital mechanisms of the internet. But the two of those things necessarily go together. And I think that this is what will be lost. We will lose the kind of face-to-face solidarity that allows people to, as this previous speaker was talking about, reach across differences, reach across conflict, reach across gender and racism and sexism and homophobia in a way that is not possible on the internet, as you're very well aware. So, having said that, you can tell I have a lot more to say, but this is my question. If it is to be a teaching facility, why is the first time that I learned about this decision last night? I am a teacher who has worked... very short notice. We have not yet put out a collective statement. We will be doing that. I'm here as an individual, but I happen to know because of the circulation of emails today that there are a lot of faculty members who are very upset with this decision.
And students!
I thought you weren't pursuing.
I made the decision to pursue it for the reasons.
Without asking faculty,
wasn't pursuing, that the offer came to him?
I mean, after Iggy, is there Michelle?